not like Flynn, and you've done all you can. You may need a new plan. Call the helpful snowman. He'll tell you what to do. If your life's time to go, he will make you brand new. If you don't like it,
fuck you.
Out no more cash. Mama's gonna take my logo fast. That is take safety off and blast.
All right, everybody. Welcome to another show.
Yeah. Crack a very quiet beer.
That was a really quiet beer.
I know.
Something's wrong with this soundboard.
The soundboard really sucks for 99 cents.
Trying to use it. The sounds are not the same level.
Okay. That's pretty loud.
Doorbell's a lot louder than... I guess a doorbell is louder than a beer.
Which is really unjust when you think about it. And a burp is always louder than a doorbell. Burp and a doorbell the same volume. Someone being electrocuted?
I like that one a lot.
Was that an explosion?
I guess so.
Oh, God. Well, I'm Ian, and I'm here with my brother today, here in the
God
Helpful
damn
Snow
it,
Fort.
God damn it, it's my show. I'll do it.
Well, I have been doing a little Helpful Snow Fort management for you.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So, as many of you may have heard, if you are a frequent flyer of the show, my last person I dated passed away.
That's right. She passed into oblivion.
From being someone I was dating. You know, my brother came to my house.
Yeah.
And seemed a little dismayed because I still had many photographs on the wall here in the Helpful Snow Fort. I have sort of a photographic wall.
Right. I used to call this the Wall of Conquests.
Which is funny because I think there's like two people on this wall that I've had sex with. And then, you know, I see, let's see, my grandma. Several male friends.
You got your uncle and your aunt there too.
An aunt and an uncle. A baby.
That's right. Your sister?
A wedding photo. My mom. So.
But I would like to point out for a second.
To categorize this as a wall of conquest is a little unfair.
To be fair, there's one point of fairness that some of these. Yeah, boo all you want, haters. But you know what? I'm going to say in Peter's defense.
Okay.
Some of these are from exotic locations.
Uh-huh.
Some of these involve you holding dangerous animals.
The baby? I do.
Gator.
Yeah, I'm holding an alligator.
An alligator, right. And some of these...
This is why it's tough. Because, okay, for example.
Uh-huh.
So you get rid of pictures of, like, you and your ex, right?
Yes.
But one of these is with an ex, but we're holding a baby alligator together.
See, I think you keep that one because it's not about you and the ex. It's about you, the ex, and the alligator.
It's a pretty awesome picture.
Yeah, so you keep the things that are awesome pictures on their own.
Okay.
But you get rid of the things that are awesome pictures. Like, if you had just a picture of your ex, you might not keep it if it's just, like, her hanging around doing, you know, just sitting on the couch.
Sure.
But you might, like, there's one picture up here of an ex who's in a teapot costume from Beauty and the Beast.
Yeah, Mrs. Potts.
Right. And she looks very upset to be in this costume.
She was not... Didn't want to put on the costume.
Didn't want to put on
the costume.
Costume
and the hat.
Right. And I think that's the kind of picture you keep because it's funny.
Okay.
You know, there's a comedy element to it.
Sure.
And even if you say, had bad feelings, it's your ex in a low moment. Yeah.
Let's not get out of hand.
Not get out of hand, but there's like two... If you like it, you win. But if you are kind of pissed off at her, you still win.
Well, I just think that's one where... Once you get past the conflicting feelings of enjoying something that involves your ex, that is a pretty enjoyable photo.
It's just an enjoyable photo.
Because how many times do you get a chance to dress in a Mrs. Potts costume?
Right. There's one other controversial one that I'm looking at up here.
Okay.
And there's a different ex holding a what looks to be a large bowl of macaroni.
It's scrambled eggs.
Scrambled eggs. Mm-hmm. All right. Now, on the one hand, it features the ex very prominently.
Yeah.
Which is the argument for getting rid of it.
Yeah, she's the only one in the picture.
Only one in the picture. However, it's a large bowl of scrambled eggs.
Uh-huh.
And is that bowl actually full of scrambled eggs?
Yeah.
Did you eat all those scrambled eggs, not by yourself?
I did. Well, I don't know. I don't remember.
Were they all devoured?
Does that matter?
Well, if it's like we ate that whole bowl of scrambled eggs,
uh-huh.
then you'd keep it because there's a memory there.
Okay.
But the question is, when you look at that picture, do you see the ex or the eggs?
Well, I see both.
Okay, so
those
then you
are,
should...
Those are inexorable.
But those are that's an argument for keeping it, all right?
Okay.
All right,
because
so
I don't just see the ex?
You don't just see the ex. You see that there's the eggs there, too.
Okay.
However, I'm doing this out of revenge.
Yeah, you made a huge pile. There's a huge pile of photos.
But one thing that's worth pointing out with it, but in front of this huge pile of, like, there's a huge pile of photos.
Yeah.
Of the ex, and they're controversial, right?
Yeah.
But behind the huge pile of photos was the only one of two pictures of me, his own brother.
Uh-huh.
And this was buried behind all the pictures of the ex.
Now, hang on. Hold up this photo. Now, I want you to do something. I have not touched this photo tonight. Is that correct?
That's right.
I want you to turn it around and see if there's a piece of tape on it.
There is.
Okay, so at one point it was taped up and it fell behind the others.
Okay.
All right?
Excuses.
I'm just saying... I think that's a pretty good excuse. And I didn't know there was a piece of tape, but I suspected I had taped it up.
Okay. All right. But I have a huge stack of photos.
Yeah.
Well, not a huge stack, but a stack of photos.
That you're suggesting I take down.
Right. And we're going to go through them.
That you took down.
That I took down. And we're going to try to go through them one by one. We'll describe them because this is radio.
I know. This is going to be tough.
It'll be a little tough. But maybe you can post some of these at helpfulsnowman.com?
Probably not.
All right. But that's you should go and check anyway just to see.
Go for it.
All right. So let's start with a picture that I think is a good case for being completely removed.
Okay. Now, what are you suggesting I do with these once they're removed?
Well, I think that's something we'll have to work out, but you have different options.
Okay.
One option is to make sure she gets them, like send them through a mutual friend. Say,
send them back to her?
Right.
Well, she already has these pictures.
Well, she already has these pictures.
These are doubles.
If she already has these pictures, this is what I think you could do with them.
Uh-huh.
Put them in a shoebox, right?
Uh-huh.
Put the shoebox in like an out-of-the-way location.
Okay.
You know, somewhere where you don't frequent.
Okay.
And if you want that, like if you open them later, like 5 years from now, 10 years from now, when you move out of the Helpful Snow Fort into the Helpful Snow Hovel.
Yeah.
You know, once you lose your job from
yurt.
The show. Right.
Yeah, once this show causes me to lose my job.
Exactly.
Okay.
You can decide to keep the pictures then. You know, like you can say...
So you're saying I shouldn't decide now whether or not to just trash them.
Right.
I should put them away.
Right.
And decide if I want... Okay.
But you should take
That's
them
reasonable.
Off the wall. Like you should sort
okay.
of demote them a little
okay.
bit. You should sort of put them in a hidden spot.
Why?
Well, part of it is that if you have a whole bunch of pictures with you happy with your ex, you're going to be thinking either, oh, that relationship was great.
Uh-huh.
I wish I had it back.
Okay.
Or you're going to be thinking like, that bitch just pisses me off.
Okay.
And so you're never going to have good feelings looking at most of those pictures.
All right.
All right.
Well, let's go through the pictures.
So we're trying to reduce the number of them. So we've got one here.
So you're saying
these
aren't necessarily all must go. These are the ones you've identified.
These are the ones I've identified. Now, there's some up there that I think are questionable.
Yeah.
But
you didn't take them all off.
I didn't take them all off, but I said we got to reduce the number.
Okay.
Because this way you have some picture. Like, there's one picture that I'm looking at right now, which is clearly you and the ex from the back.
Oh, at Villari.
Chicago. But it's because you have a prominent location.
Yeah.
That's okay to stay.
So it's like if I went with an ex-wife to the pyramids.
Yeah.
And there's a picture of us there, but the pyramids were giant.
Right.
You'd be like, well...
Well, you
people
went to
would want to see that. They'll ask you about it.
Right. And it's because, you know, it's like, oh, I went to the pyramids at one point.
Okay.
You know, and it might be that you don't display that in your house with, you know, when the new girlfriend comes over, but you keep that picture
God
around.
God knows what I'm capable of.
Right. But some of these, and there's a couple here that are, you know, still on the wall that are of the two of you, but you're more prominent in them than she is.
Yeah.
So it's more a picture of you than it is of her.
You have a big face.
Right. And no matter what, I think the worst thing you can do,
uh-huh.
even worse than throwing out the picture entirely,
uh-huh.
is cutting the other person out of the picture.
I don't do that.
Yeah, that's too much.
I've never been a...
That's not really good.
Do you remember
good.
When people used to do that, like on their profile pictures for Facebook, MySpace? They'd post a picture,
uh-huh.
and it would be like them and a guy,
right.
or them and a girl, and they would just MS Paint and use the spray mm-hmm. paint function and spray paint out the other person, just their face.
Right.
Which I was like, why don't you just crop that picture? That looks much worse to have some guy or a girl where you're like, I don't want anyone to see this person's face.
The only place where it's worse than on Facebook or MySpace is if it's on a dating site.
Oh, yeah.
Because that says that you have no pictures of yourself.
Yeah, you want to go on a date right. with me and the ghost of my ex?
It's the...
Take a fucking picture of yourself.
And it's like so many phones have cameras, so many things have cameras, that the sort of MySpace style picture where you're in the mirror.
Yeah.
That's better than the
one. Which I hate, but that is better than...
Right.
Or just crop.
Or just, yeah.
Crop. Or like, or just say, that's my buddy.
Or you
or
go,
cousin.
Or you go outside and you just, you know, have a friend take a picture of you.
Yeah, it's not that hard.
You know, just have them do like a 5-minute thing. If you're already going on internet dating, you're not embarrassed, so
yeah.
whatever. All right, so we're going to go through some of these pictures. We'll try to describe them
okay.
as to why they don't belong. I've got a dynamite one that even though it doesn't feature the ex prominently, uh-huh. we'll save for later. It's this one right here.
Okay.
All right. But we'll start off with this picture, which I think is a good case because it's just, it features the ex, right?
Yeah.
In front of a window.
Yep.
She's wearing a yellow shirt and a giant scarf, kind of looking at nothing.
Let me see this picture.
It looks like she's kind of looking off in the distance. Now, I'll say it's a cute picture.
Yeah.
But you don't need a cute picture of your ex.
No, she does look very cute.
Right.
Let me tell you the other problems with this picture.
All right.
Number one, uh-huh. we both own this exact same yellow t-shirt.
Okay.
Which I would like to continue to wear. Number right. two, this was right before she went away to school. Uh-huh. And we stayed in a hotel for the weekend, you know, in Denver.
Right.
Just to hang out and enjoy that time together.
Yeah.
And so at some point she had fallen and she has a Band-Aid on her chin.
Yeah.
Right? And so she was going to school that weekend for the first time. And she was feeling really self-conscious about it because she's like, oh my God, you've got to be kidding me.
Uh-huh.
So for the rest of the weekend, I remember I put on a Band-Aid on my chin too.
Aww.
So that we, yeah, fuck you.
Aww.
So that we could, so she wouldn't feel so bad about things.
Uh-huh.
So yeah, this is a pretty, even though this picture appears fairly innocent, I would say it's a fairly loaded
It's pretty loaded picture.
Picture. So I'm going to try and peel the tape off this here. Go ahead.
All right. So this is the second case picture,
uh-huh.
which is the ex
yeah.
in front of a plant. All right.
Okay.
Like she's in front of a big green plant. There's not really much else in the background.
Well, then it's got to go.
But the reason I would say, like, as a contrast to that one where she looks kind of cute,
mm-hmm.
this one is fucking blurry as hell.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like this is not a good quality picture.
Okay.
Right? And it's just of the ex. It's not of you. If there's a memory attached to it, great. But otherwise, just get, you know.
I would say the reason for this picture, and you can evaluate as you look through the other pictures,
mm-hmm.
is this is like a really honest smile. Like she doesn't know she's in a picture right there. And uh-huh. it is blurry. But it's a moment of genuine happiness captured on film, which is, I think, what a picture should be. So even though it's blurry...
Let's put this one to the side because there's some really other happy. Genuine smile pictures. And you can only take a couple of genuine smile pictures.
To keep, you mean?
Yeah, that's right. Well, not to keep. Remember, we're just putting these in a shoebox.
Well, these are all going in the box. Why does this need to be on the side? Can't this just go with the other one?
All right, we'll put it with the other one for now. But if you decide you want to...
Are you going to let me, all right. So I get to keep a certain number of these. Let's set out the ground rules.
All right. Let's set up some ground. Let's start with some ground rules. All right. I've got a stack of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13. All right. These ones I think you should keep.
Okay, so I've got 13.
Right, this is just a contrast.
So how many of these 13 do you think is appropriate for me to keep? Bearing in mind there are still... Are you going to say none of these 13?
Well, here's what I think, all right? I'm not saying you're throwing away any of them.
Right, I know what you're saying. Put them in the shoebox.
I'm going to say we'll go with 7, because that's a majority.
I don't think I need 7.
All right, we'll go with 5.
4.
4? Done. All right.
Okay.
So, but this first one with the yellow shirt and the... Band-Aid?
Yeah.
That's definitely going in the box.
I think that has to go.
That has to go in the box.
Yeah.
This one you might want to hang on to with the green plant smile thing.
Okay.
Because there's other pictures with a genuine smile, mm-hmm. but this might be the least loaded.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's just at okay.
It's at the right level.
Yeah, let's move
on. I'll go with a slam dunk one. All right. This is one of my slam dunk ones. This is a picture of your ex sleeping.
Uh-huh.
Which I think you should put in a shoebox for a couple of reasons.
Mm-hmm.
One, this is an intimate moment.
Yep.
And it probably has a lot of significance.
Yeah.
Two, if this is displayed and someone else sees it,
yeah,
it's going to look very weird and awkward. Because much as if someone else comes in the room and says, oh, you know, there's always going to be pictures of your ex around.
Yeah.
But pictures of your ex sleeping.
Yeah. A
little too intimate.
Okay. Well, here's what I would also say.
All right.
I didn't take this picture.
Okay.
Her friend took this picture when they were driving together. But I always thought it was cute how she, like, totally conked out when she slept.
Oh, boy.
Also, she's wearing the same yellow shirt again.
So I think
that's going to have to go in the, yeah.
It's going to have to go.
I'm not going to try to save that one pile.
All right.
Now, hang on. I'm going to have to get up for a second because there are some that you missed up here.
All right. So you're actually going to put some more. See, I was trying to be, like, reasonable and merciful and make this go more slowly, but you might be, you know, this might be a good healing process thing for you.
Well, you missed.
You know, okay, so I missed that one because it kind of fell. Well, see, that's, all right, we'll talk about that one. We'll talk about it. But I think you're going through, you're taking a look. I was trying to start this off slowly, but, all right, so this is another one I think you may want to hang on to for other reasons that I didn't even know was her. So, Peter is taking all of them down.
I'm just saying, here's what I think we need to do.
Okay.
You know, we discussed the entirety and I'll keep up five.
All right. The entirety and you'll keep up five.
Yeah.
All right. So
I probably added like five more.
All right. So we'll go.
All right. Let's move on.
We'll go with another slam dunk one.
Now, when you say slam dunk, you mean one that you really think I don't.
Right.
Need to keep.
Right. Here's a picture of your ex on a hill by a lot of trees. And there's a lot of trees in the background. I'm guessing this is the college campus.
Okay.
And she's reading.
Okay.
And so, yeah, nice.
That's a rain cloud, I guess.
Woodsy scene. Now, on the reason to keep this would be it looks like she's kind of struggling with the passage.
Okay.
But on the other hand, I just think that this is one of those pictures, like much like the sleeping picture, that's just way too intimate. And
yeah.
Probably, it's not a matter you throw it away, but you just don't need to display it.
Well, to be honest, this picture was from before we were actually together.
Okay.
So this one's probably one of the less. On the one hand, this is one of the less loaded pictures.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, it's not one of my favorites.
All right.
So I don't need it.
Even if you thought that one,
I can discard that one.
If you thought that one was a slam dunk, this is the super slam dunk.
Okay.
Picture of the ex, her sister, and her sister's kid.
Uh huh.
Now, if you have a strong bond with a sister's kid, or you really like spending time with him, great. But I'm thinking extension is not really the thing you want to prominently display.
Here's the thing: mixed feelings.
All right.
I feel bad for the kid.
Okay.
Because he's had a not easy time.
All right.
And we did drive all the way to New Mexico to visit the kid.
Okay.
I'm putting this in the keep pile for the time being.
For the time
being.
So
right now I've got two.
You've got two in the keep pile. All right. I've got one that I would argue that I took down to keep in the keep pile.
Okay.
Even though it doesn't have you in it.
Yeah.
It's a prominent shot of your ex.
Mm-hmm.
You're all at miniature. You, Alec, and Alec's ex, actually.
Yeah, yeah.
Are all at miniature golf.
Okay.
All right. Your ex is sort of taking a swing at a golf ball.
Mm-hmm.
She's taking the club like a baseball bat. She's trying to hit it.
Uh-huh.
Now, from the picture, it's an action shot. She's clearly missing.
Yeah.
Right? The ball is just is too far away. She's off. In the background, Alec is taking a picture of this.
Yeah.
And Alec's ex is laughing pretty hard.
Yeah.
So I think this is worth keeping because it's a great action shot. It's just it's a good photograph.
Well, here's the problem with this one.
All right.
As I see it. I've got this other, the first one where I talked about her genuinely smiling and it's blurry.
Yeah.
It's from the exact same outing.
Okay.
You can see she's wearing the same thing. She's standing in front of the same bush.
Right.
And I'd rather keep the smile.
All right. So you'd rather.
I'm putting that in the discard. Oh, hang on.
You're putting that in the discard pile?
Start describing another one.
Okay. So what I'm going to go with here, as I describe another of these pictures, let's pick a really good one. This has a lot to describe. I'm actually going to go with one that I had originally picked. Now, this one is a little strange because it looks like Peter and the X are sitting in a booth or a table. All right. And so what's happening is Peter's sort of leaning behind the X. He's kissing the back of the X, I guess. The X's back.
No.
Okay. But she's laughing at this. She thinks this is funny. Or he's sleeping past.
I'll describe. Give me this fucking picture.
Well,
we're sitting in a restaurant
booth. All right.
Oh, it does kind of look like I'm kissing her. I'm actually just hiding behind her to get out of the picture. Both of our eyes are closed.
Right.
This is one from super early on.
Right.
Which is probably why I still have it. So for right now, I'm putting this in the keeper.
Okay. This might be the sort of like a round robin thing or like a double elimination type of tournament where...
Okay.
Or like
collect the keepers.
A single elimination where... You win, you get to move on, you lose.
Yeah.
And if we get down to the wire, I might just be holding up two pictures. Which one do you want to keep?
Okay.
But we're good for time. Here's one of her and the X in front of a Ferris wheel.
Yeah.
The argument
That's
for keeping
at,
it...
the pier.
The pier in Chicago.
Yeah,
Navy
she's
pier.
Standing in front of a huge Ferris wheel.
Now, see, the argument for keeping it is it's kind of a cool Ferris wheel picture. It's a well-composed
shot. It's a pretty cool
shot.
Picture.
But... It prominently features the X. It doesn't prominently feature you or anybody else.
Yeah.
So I don't. I'm kind of skeptical on that one. It's probably one of the better shots of just without.
I'm keeping it.
All right.
Because it hurts my heart. So there you go.
Okay.
I'll peel the tape off those if you don't mind.
I've got one here where she's wearing a yellow shirt again.
Yeah.
She's with some person that I don't really recognize.
Oh, that's her friend. Okay.
That's her friend.
Yeah, I wasn't there.
You weren't.
This was from the same time when the sleeping picture was taken.
Okay, so the same time from the sleeping picture was taken.
Yeah.
So I feel like that has almost no relationship.
I'll put that over to the side.
That's going to go to the
side. You know what? There's a whole other set of pictures.
Why don't we just hang on to the ones we've got? Because we've got a lot of pictures to go through.
So I was driving the other day.
Okay.
And I flipped down the sun visor.
Uh-huh.
And in there, I have a whole set of pictures. Because that's when I got them, and I just stuck them in there because I was like, oh, this will be good to have. And then
it all went
down.
It
was real not good to have.
Well, it's like you haven't had to flip down the sun visor for a while because it's been cloudy all the time.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
you haven't,
it was just sunny, and oh, man.
So since you've had no sunshine in your life.
Do I need to go get those?
Well, hang. Let's just go through what we've got.
Let's do this.
You know, this way you can maybe have Alec help you out with the rest.
Okay.
All right. But, we've got this picture here. She appears to be it's supposed to be one of those things where she, like, there's a hole cut in a cardboard costume.
Yeah,
right?
You stand in front of, like, a wooden board.
You stand behind a wooden board,
like,
and you stick your face into something, and you're supposed to look like a muscle man or something like that.
Yeah.
She looks like a knight.
Yeah.
She's got the sort of puffer fish face going.
Yeah.
I'm going to say junk this, or put this one in the shoebox.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's a keeper.
That's from the Art Institute, but... I suspect there'll be ones I want to keep more. There's funny because there's like this Asian woman in sort of a funhouse mirror behind her, giving her a look like, what the fuck? At the Art Institute?
All right, this one is her also reading something.
Yeah.
It's an interesting picture because you can see that she's clearly reading something about Sigmund Freud.
Yeah, because there's a picture
of him.
There's
a big picture there. She's reading this. However, there's a reason why I don't think you should display this one.
Okay.
But it's because it's got some text on the back.
Oh.
All right. It says, the t-shirt I'm wearing reminds me of how much I missed you when I was in NY. There's a flower on the back, too.
Okay. Well,
so I think this one should probably go in the shoebox.
What if maybe this should go in not the shoebox, face the other way?
I think that's exactly wrong.
Okay.
Trying to reduce this.
I'll trust your instincts on that one.
All right. This is one that I would actually argue you should... reconsider.
Now, I'll describe this one.
Okay.
This is when we went rafting.
Right.
So there's three of us. Heather. We didn't say her name. Well, that's okay.
Right.
Me in the middle.
Uh-huh.
And Nicanor on the far right.
Right.
Now, I am wearing, I'll just describe from top to bottom, a crazy floppy cowboy hat that looks like maybe if the guy on Justified fell in a creek.
I have a one-word short description of this outfit, but you should finish.
Yeah. Or maybe it's a hat that a woman would wear at like a funeral and be like, ooh, child.
Yep.
A soccer jersey
yep.
that features the colors prominently white, purple, red, and orange.
Yeah.
And the word Umbro.
It's an Umbro jersey.
Swim trunks, which just appear in this picture to be short shorts. You can see a good amount of my thighs.
Uh-huh.
And shoes with no socks. I mean, I look like a garbage man.
I actually have the name for this outfit.
Okay.
I call it the Tom Dirk.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Just a random assemblage of...
of clothes.
Closet.
Yeah. Like,
and the other two people, Heather and Nicanor, look relatively put together.
Right.
I mean, they look like something you could walk into a Wendy's.
You could walk into society with this. Whereas you just sort of took whatever clothes happened to be on the pile of the Ark.
Yeah.
And just put them on.
Just made an outfit.
Don't
call what you're wearing an outfit.
So I almost think this is worth keeping.
Okay.
Because it's not really about the ex. It's about you in the outfit. It's about you with a friend. It
captures a moment in time.
Right.
Okay.
So
I'll put that in the keep pile for the time being.
For the time being. Let's see. We've got... This one's a little tough. So we'll come back to that one. Here's one with... this is actually of the ex's hand. Right. Uh-huh. And she put a stamp on her hand, like one of those to-do stamps that you like.
Oh,
stamp
here's to make what a to-do it is. List. Okay. It's like a temporary tattoo,
uh-huh.
but it's a to-do list.
Right.
So it says to-do, and then it's got line, because I always write stuff on my hands.
Yes.
So, yeah. Okay.
So you usually write random notes that make no sense to anybody except
yeah,
for you.
Yeah, usually at work.
Where it'll say something like, Mitzi on your hand, and we're like, what the fuck is Mitzi? It's like, oh, that's something I had to get at work.
Yeah, it's a thing I had to do at work. I had to make an interlibrary loan.
Yeah. So this has a list written on her hand.
On the to-do list.
On the to-do list, and these are the items.
Uh-huh.
Are you going to be able to do this without crying?
Well, you have to read it.
Don't be a pussy.
I can just be silently cry.
Don't be a pussy.
Okay.
All right. It starts with, love Peter, miss Peter, think about Peter, call Peter. Dream of Peter, kiss Peter, and fantasize about Peter.
Okay.
All right, so that's the list. This is definitely going in the box.
Okay.
All right. This is going in the box, and all I'm right. not. We're not going to discuss why.
Maybe we should give what we should do here, too, since I get five, you know, stay out of the box.
Right.
We give you five.
Absolutely.
Must go in the box.
Must go in the box.
And this is one of those.
This is one of those. We'll leave the ones that are... In the
yeah,
the,
let's just,
that you've
those
already
are fine
eliminated,
for now.
But I'm putting that one as my that's got to
go
in the box.
Okay.
All right, so let's see. We'll have a good debatable picture. All right, this one appears to be in front of the Art Institute in Chicago, and I'm guessing that by the Green Lion.
That's correct.
Featured prominently here, that green copper lion.
Yeah,
it's an interesting street shot. It's got that good, genuine smile again because your ex is kind of in the corner of it. But I'm kind of on the fence with this one. I'm not saying it should go, but I'm not saying it should stay.
I like this picture. So I'm putting it in the stay.
You're putting it in the stay?
So now I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 in the stay.
So...
I'm already over, but let's just keep
going.
Once
we get down, we're going to have to eliminate some from the stay pile.
I understand.
All right. So I'll give you a nice easy one. About this is going in my in the box pile.
Okay.
So I've only got one in there.
Okay.
All right. This is you close up kissing the ex while she's wearing your hat.
Yeah.
So this needs no other explanation.
Okay.
This is going in the...
Doesn't my hair look luxurious, though?
It kind of does, but that's not enough.
And greasy.
That's why it's going in the box, because once you're bald, you'll want to hang on to that.
Oh, that's true. That would make me feel really bad.
Yeah, you want to preserve this.
I think her eyes look incredibly white.
They do, but that's not a reason.
She has very white eyes.
All right, now you're going down some kind of fantasizing
road. Okay, let's move on.
We'll move forward. Let's see. This is a picture of people on a couch.
Yeah.
All right? And it looks like there's a couple of different friends around.
Yeah.
It's not just the ex.
Yeah.
It looks like, it looks like there's Alex's wife is in this picture.
That's right.
Right?
And probably before they'd met, or maybe that could be the first time they met.
So this could be from that night.
Yeah, but that I would be lying if I said that's why I had it.
That's why you had it?
Yeah.
And it looks like you've got some other of your friends around, like in the back round. here.
Yeah, yeah.
You've got your friends around. There's somebody on the floor. It looks like you're playing some Guitar Hero that night.
Yeah.
And there's some hardcore singing going on.
Yeah.
I'm on the fence on this one. I don't think it's... I would put it in the box, not because it's bad, but it's just not a great picture.
Yeah, it's a little dark. It's a little dark. So you're going to put this in your box?
It's not in my must box, but I'm advising it.
This is in the neutral box.
Right. I'm neutral towards it.
Okay.
Let's see. We'll go faster this one. Make this a lightning round.
Okay.
All right. Let's see. We've got a picture of your ex with the hottest woman ever. So you have a picture of your ex with another woman.
Uh-huh.
All right. But
yeah.
I would say that this is not a bad picture, yeah. But I don't know if you can only save five if this is one I would save.
Well, yeah, I'm putting this in the save.
All right. You've got so many in the save pile, you're going to have to start eliminating some.
Now, here's another thing, though. This is one of the few pictures featuring my apartment.
That's true. But I think your save pile is going to be pretty big, so you got to start thinking about what you would cut out of the save
you
pile.
You think about it.
All right. All right, moving forward. This is you with your back facing the camera and your ex facing the camera with her face.
Okay.
All right. And you're both wearing some water management vests.
Oh, here's what we got. So, as you know, when we go visit Chicago, our uncle tends to give us gifts.
Yes.
However, these gifts tend to be atypical.
Right.
For example, a cooler full of hot dogs.
Yes, we should tell that story on another show. Because well, I got several pounds of hot dogs. 5 pounds of hot dogs.
Yeah, or sausage, Italian beef with the juice.
Which is really good.
Yeah, well, of course. Oh, yeah. If you go to Chicago, here's the thing.
Uh-huh.
Everyone's into Chicago-style pizza.
Right.
I say no. The real food of Chicago is Italian beef sandwich.
Yeah, I gotta...
Followed close second or neck and neck with hot dog. Pizza is a distant third.
I'll actually give you a better second and even put pizza down at fourth.
Mm.
I sent you a picture of this on my camera phone, or John did, as I was eating it.
Oh, yeah.
Where I would say Polish food, like really good Polish
food. Yeah, but that's too broad.
But here's the thing.
Okay, you go to Philly. What do you eat in Philly?
Cheesesteak.
Obviously. Right. New York.
Pizza?
Pizza. Clearly.
Here's what I would say.
Chicago, everyone thinks deep dish pizza.
Right.
I'm saying Italian beef sandwich, hot dogs.
Here's the Polish food I would say, pierogies.
Yeah, pierogies are pretty good too.
Pierogies, maybe that might be a good third place
one. I do that above pizza.
Yeah, maybe a good third place one because pierogies, you can't get good pierogies anywhere.
So here's the thing.
All right.
So as one of the gifts, he gave us these triple to possibly quadruple XL construction water management shirts.
It's worth saying that any gifts of clothing he gets are always way too big.
It's fucking gigantic. These are like electric green yellow,
uh-huh.
Like, you know, irradiated urine color.
Right.
And they have reflective strips on them.
Yes.
And so this is us wearing them in the hotel looking gangster.
Yeah.
And we did later wear them as Halloween costumes. We were Chicago water people.
Yep.
So on Halloween, it was just like, we had a water main bust downtown. Traffic was jammed back to the Dan Ryan. Can you imagine?
It's pretty bad.
Oh.
We had to take 5 breaks to get Italian beef. It was real good. Real good.
I ate 7 Italian beefs on my break and then started getting real bad chest pains. I'm just trying to seal up the water main there. So I did take a break, washed it down with a couple pierogies. I think that...
How would you wash it down with a potato ravioli?
I think the potato helps clear out the...
potato
the beef.
Potato clears out the beef real good.
So then we'll have some Euros later. Real good.
Real good.
Okay.
All right.
I'm putting that in the keep pile.
That's in the keep. Your keep pile is going to have to get...
Fuck you.
All right. But let's see. I'm going to go with this one right here. We're getting down to the end.
Yeah.
For those of you who hate having pictures described to you on the radio. This is you two on a plane.
Uh-huh.
You're both wearing tie-dye shirts.
Mm-hmm.
And she's sleeping on your shoulder.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And although you're featured prominently in this picture.
Yeah.
I'm going to probably put this. This might... I'm ambivalent about it, but if you say save pile, I'm putting it in my veto pile.
I don't need to save this one.
All right.
It was threatening. You know, we took the flight and she was a bad flyer.
Okay.
And we sat together and held hands and stuff, and it was nice.
Yeah, this is going in my veto pile. I'm excited.
Okay.
We're not going
Once
in this.
Once I started talking.
Yeah, that's like, that's it. You're done.
Okay.
Finished.
I'm okay with that one.
That one's going in the, that's going in the shoebox.
Yeah.
This is one we've discussed already, so it should go pretty briefly.
The
big thing of scrambled eggs.
Okay.
I like the picture. I just don't know if you probably want to fight to keep this one displayed.
I like it too, but of the options.
Like, because your display pile is already...
I get five.
You're already fighting for someone. This is a picture that's on a blurry night street.
Pretty active.
And she's supposed to be looking like she's scared. Like, about, oh my God, there's so many people.
I'll describe the pictures, damn it.
I like my description.
Because I know what's actually happening.
But I'm
so this was also in Chicago. We went to Lollapalooza and saw Kings of Leon.
Right.
Which was an interesting experience. So Lollapalooza is this giant, it takes over an entire downtown park.
And now Lollapalooza is mostly like hip hop and straight up R&B.
No, it's like, rap. It leans probably towards indie.
Oh, indie.
Okay. But then the last two acts of the night were Depeche Mode and Kings of Leon.
Your sex is on fire.
And she was a huge Kings of Leon fan. I'd say I'm a medium fan. I think they're pretty good. So here's the thing. Fucking packed. Because normally during the day, I think there are something like 8 legitimate stages, plus there's like a DJ stage for, I don't know, you're so fucking stoned, you don't even care
anymore.
You just
get dropped off there. You don't really attend on purpose. You just like, well, put them in the DJ stage.
Yeah, so then... So we went and saw Kings of Leon. So we probably headed over there an hour and a half before it started.
Right.
And it was jammed. You couldn't even move.
Right.
So then first, you know, we're standing there packed. And we get smashed in with all these Australian people.
Crikey.
And these two girls were like yelling at the stage the whole time. They're like, get naked! Take all your clothes off! And then there was like this Australian midget man. Who was standing behind us and hadn't really said anything. And he was tiny, like 4 or 5.
Okay.
Must not have been able to see a fucking thing. Just was wherever the crowd was taking him.
Right.
So he's standing directly behind me and he says, I've seen a lot of asses today, but yours is my favorite. And he reaches his little midget finger up and just touches my cheek.
At that moment, you were hoping for a stingray to come save you,
weren't
you?
There was nothing I could do. There was nowhere for me to run.
You're being attacked by an Australian little person.
Then this asshole starts like really shoving through the crowd. Like everyone had kind of shoved their way to where they were.
This Oompa Loompa?
And we were still... No, some other guy. Okay. And this guy was shoving through and everyone was kind of like, what the fuck?
Right.
You know, because he was clearly late to the party. But just muscling through. So right when he gets past us, either... Both hands, full force, shoves him in the back. And he almost falls over. And he turns around ready to fight.
Right.
And, you know, then he sees it's a girl.
Yeah.
And you can tell he loses all. He's like, ah, fuck. You know, I can't just sock her in the face. So he turns around, but before he can be crestfallen, she gives him the, like, throw the hands up and the shoulders back. Like, what? What?
What do you do?
Yeah.
Okay.
And then... He looks back like, what the fuck? And then she shoves him again.
Now,
and then he has to just keep moving.
Now, this is why this picture is going into the shoebox.
Wow.
Because...
Now, this picture is from after the concert, because this concert lets out, and then the streets are just full of people. I mean, it's a downtown metropolitan area, and it's like, you can't move.
Because, I understand that.
Yeah.
You told this story. There's just way too much attachment to it.
Okay.
And if you had to explain the way I describe this picture is how someone who just walks into this room is going to see this picture.
Okay.
Right? Yeah. You described the whole story behind this picture.
Yeah.
So if you had to describe this whole story behind this picture to somebody,
yeah,
you probably shouldn't keep it displayed.
Well, why not? Shouldn't pictures remind you of a time? I mean, I don't consider my photographs art. I'm not like, this is an amazing photo. They remind me of times
people. I'll tell you what. Would you put this in your save pile?
Yeah.
Oh, God. All right.
Calm down.
Because we're
hysterical.
You know what? It doesn't matter because we're going to have to go through
the
save file.
You brought this on yourself.
Oh, I might have, but this is for your own good.
Okay.
All right. Here's one of the ex holding a turtle.
Oh, okay.
On the street here. Yeah. Doesn't look, you know, and she's pretty happy about this, the holding, like the picture part. Doesn't seem too happy in holding the turtle, kind of trying to hold it away from herself a little bit.
Well, she was happy.
Right.
So I was driving to her house.
Yeah.
And I saw on the road, I like swerved out of the way because I almost hit this fucking turtle.
Yeah.
And it's pretty big. Just walking around.
Uh-huh.
So then we went back and picked it up and she took it home. And put it in a box and named it Tink.
All right. Well, I would definitely... You put it in the save pile?
Yeah. I like this picture.
You know what? I think you're going to...
Doesn't she look happy? Her eyes are barely open because she's smiling.
You know, it's a good happy picture, but frankly, the more you put in the save pile, the harder it's going to be for you.
Well, you let me worry. Look, we've already eliminated like half the pictures.
Right, but you're only
I'm making progress.
You're only going to keep five of these.
I'm
just
making progress.
All right, this is the last one we have.
Yeah.
All right, before we get started eliminating these save pictures down.
Yeah.
All right. This is...
Well, no, I got to go. We'll have to take a brief break and I'll get the ones from my car.
Okay.
If we're going to do this, we should do
it. We should do it all out.
Yeah.
All right. So this is your ex.
Uh-huh.
She's sitting on a lawn swing, right?
Yeah.
Like a porch swing.
Porch swing.
All right. With one of her sister's kids.
Yeah, her niece.
Her niece. And the niece looks really happy.
Uh-huh.
She looks really happy. She's got her laptop doing some work. There's a bag of chips they're eating together.
My girlfriend is laptop.
Yeah, your girlfriend's laptop, not her niece's laptop, because her niece is like 4.
Well, you have to describe it. No one can see it.
But it's they both seem pretty happy. They both seem like they're enjoying each other's company.
Yeah.
Now, as much as it's a nice picture,
yeah.
If you do you have much of a relationship with the niece?
Yeah, I like her.
All right.
And this is like their little house.
Okay.
I spend a lot of time with them.
You know, I think you put that in the save pile.
Yeah.
That's your decision, but I think that's going to make that elimination later on pretty rough.
I understand. I understand what's happening here, okay?
Okay.
All right. So we need to take, unless you want to just keep talking, we need to take a little brief break so I can go get the other ones from my car.
Man, I don't really know what I would talk about.
Okay, we can take a little break.
We'll probably take a break.
I'll put on some music.
All right.
And then go grab those and we'll be right back.
All right.
We'll be right back.
Okay, and I'm back.
Yeah, this has gotten into a deep show. I thought this would be like a 3-minute bit, but it wound up taking a lot longer than that.
It literally ran. It's freezing outside.
Oh, man.
So you were saying during the break that you were going to... You've done this to yourself.
I have. I've done this to myself a couple of times.
We're in the middle of... we're going through basically all the pictures of my ex that are on display.
Right.
And paring that number down. Not shredding and throwing and cutting away,
mm-hmm.
but just for the time being, and then, you know, save them for a later date.
Well, like what I described...
Time capsuling.
Yeah, what I described is that you might put them in a box.
Yeah.
And then maybe you take this box out when you move out of the Helpful Snow Fort, decide,
right.
Oh, I really want to keep these, or it's the, this is not one more fucking box I'm putting in the U-Haul. I'm getting rid of these.
Okay.
You know, which is something you have to do from time to time.
Yeah.
But this is just to say that maybe you don't need all of these pictures displayed in your house.
That I'm with you.
Right. And I've done this before, but one difference than when I've done this before, I've had this with exes.
Mm-hmm.
And every now and then you go through pictures, like you're going through pictures with friends or girlfriends, or you're looking for things to display in your house.
Sure.
And I realize that I have exes of whom I have no pictures left. Just none.
I might be in that boat.
Yeah.
Or if I have pictures of them... They're not out.
They're
all in that box.
Part of the issue is that I've moved around more often than many people.
Yeah.
And so when you've moved around enough, you've just had enough different times to eliminate pictures, eliminate things.
Sure.
That you start to sort of pare down your stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like every time you move, you pare down your stuff to what you really need.
Yeah.
So I've pared down my stuff enough times, or pictures just get lost, or they get put somewhere weird. And
well, you have probably more exes than I do, though.
Yeah.
I think I have, like, 4.
Right. And part of the issue, too, is that, you know, some exes screw you over enough where you're like, I want no record. I want to burn it all.
Yeah, see, I didn't bother with that because that doesn't seem realistic to me.
Well, it's the...
That's not going to be what makes me
remember
or forget.
But it's not going to make you remember or forget, but sometimes there's that symbolic act, like when you're breaking up with somebody, of like, I'm going to get rid of everything.
Yeah, see, that's not me. I mean, that's fine if that's you, but for me, that doesn't help.
Because
I don't feel... They don't know.
It doesn't help.
I don't feel like they cosmically feel...
I think doesn't help, but it's the kind of thing where I'm looking at those pictures and I say, like, you know, there's the, I might want this later someday, but I'm like, this sucks... And then like five, you know, I found these pictures years later and I'm like, why the fuck did I keep this?
Yeah.
You know,
that's
this
why
is going.
Yeah, you keep them for 5 years.
And then it's sort of like the time capsule thing did work. And so some of them are just completely eliminated.
All right.
And some of them I've done the same thing digitally. So it's not even that just the print is eliminated. The picture is gone.
Well, listen, I'm being faithful to the process.
Right.
Because I didn't have to go. I just went and got probably 10 more pictures from my car.
Yes.
That I could have just kept stashed there, like my secret stash.
Yeah. This is like an intervention, and we didn't check, you know.
Yes.
We didn't check your toilet tank.
Like, you have anything else? And I went and got it.
Right.
So let's go. There are probably a lot in here that I don't care about as much.
I'm guessing looking at a lot of these, and based on what you've described before, a lot of these are from when your ex went off to college.
Possibly a lot. I think almost all, if not all of these, are from when we drove her up there. It was like 8 hours away.
Uh-huh.
And her mom was there, too.
Yeah, so we'll start off with the picture of your ex's mom.
Yeah.
Carrying some bedding.
Yeah.
Some pillows and blankets in a parking lot.
She's a delightful lady, and that's a nice picture of her.
Right.
But
you're probably
not. If that's one of the five, I'm not going to fight for that as one of the five.
Let's see. There is, this one might be worth keeping just because it's just of you. You've got the Band-Aid on your mouth here in the passenger seat.
Me.
Yeah, and the gummy worms. But I mean, it's not a bad one to display.
It's not a bad one, but I don't need pictures of me. I know what I fucking look like.
This is almost a MySpace shot because you're clearly holding the camera out.
Yeah.
You're posing with both of you with your Band-Aids on.
Okay.
In front of a large truck tire at a gas station.
Okay.
All right. You got your mouths open, like you're shouting or you're excited about something.
Yeah, that's not a great picture.
I wouldn't
need
keep
that one.
Now, you said before you don't really like artistic type pictures.
Uh-huh.
And this is a yellow flower on what appears to be like the middle console piece in
this
a car.
This is a flower that I picked from the side of the road while we were driving.
Okay. Like, while the car was moving?
No.
Oh, that would have been kind of awesome.
That's not possible. but I don't need that. Because if it wasn't in the context of these other pictures, I probably wouldn't know that that's what that was.
Right.
So I'm eliminating that.
Okay. This is one of you kissing your ex while she's driving the car.
Yeah. Oh, and we both have our
Band-Aids. Both have your Band-Aids on very prominently.
Oh, that's a nice one. But I'm going to put it in the no, just because it's undeniable what's going on there.
This looks like your ex going into her dorm room with the yellow shirt on.
Time.
But you don't even see her face. You don't see
much
of what's
going
on.
Yeah, but why
would
I keep that?
Context.
That's her going into her dorm. I mean,
this is a double of something you've already eliminated.
All right.
So, like, that's...
Move on.
This is a picture of your ex, and she's got her head out the window.
Okay.
And she's trying to make it look like the car... Like, the car's either going really fast, or she's trying to make it look like... Car's going really fast because she's got sort of grimace.
I think this
going.
Is also from the trip she took when I wasn't there.
Okay, so this
so
you weren't even
really need to.
You weren't even there.
It's a good picture, but I don't need it.
All right, this is your ex laying on a couch with the yellow shirt on.
Yeah. Oh, that's her bed in her dorm.
Her bed in her
it's
dorm.
It's all lofted.
It's all loft. Okay, so it's on her loft.
I don't want that one.
All right, so we don't need that. This one is your ex with the same yellow shirt on, probably in her dorm, backlit from her window.
Yeah, I don't need that.
Don't need that one. Yeah. Right. This is your ex driving. She's got the Band-Aid on her chin. And that's pretty much what you can see is you can see out the driver's side window.
See, here's the thing about this one. It's a nice picture,
mm-hmm.
but I can tell. I know her well enough to know that's not a legit smile.
Okay, so that's just a posed
that's
smile.
I'm in a picture.
You're contrasting this one with one of the miniature golf pictures.
Yeah.
That
so
you decided
I'll,
to keep.
I'll
so
get rid of that.
You'll give that one. Mm. This is the last one. Now she's driving, and she's holding up. Someone's holding up a scratch ticket.
So this is we bought scratchers because you know what you do is so there's like six things.
Right.
So every hour you scratch one off.
Uh huh.
So that gives you something to look forward to. She's wearing her blue blockers.
Okay.
Shades. I don't know. I don't need that one.
So I'll put that in the No.
So I think that amounted to nothing, those other pictures. But I wanted to be honest.
I think it's part of the honesty process, and part of it is
these
to
are
say,
your absolutely
these are the absolutely
so you need to keep those separate.
These are the absolute vetoes. I have two absolute vetoes left.
Yeah. Okay. So here's what so I need to pare this down to five.
Right.
I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
See, but this was 11, basically. You cut these in half. And these, from the looks of it, these 11 are worth saving, right?
Yeah.
And these, the three that I have, these are gone.
Yeah.
Like, these are just no-goes. Now, there's a pile over here that are, you know, the maybes, but these were the ones you weren't excited about.
Right.
You didn't go, I gotta save this one.
Now, okay, so I've got 11.
So,
and
but
I need
basically,
to cut down to how many? Five.
Basically, what I would argue as a strategy for this, you might want to eliminate these down as best you can because you can't pull from this pile unless you.
I
take
don't
out
want
from
to.
This one. All right.
But here's my question.
Okay.
So you get five absolutely eliminations.
Right.
Are you necessarily going to use all those?
No.
Because if you are, then I'm going to just get rid of. I'll let you do that first.
Oh, so you're saying the ones like of these saves.
Yeah, but if you're not necessarily... Wait.
All right.
If you're only using those to use your five...
Right.
No, I'm saying don't use that just because you want to use your five.
You know, I would say that there's one picture here.
Okay.
Which is the picture of your ex, the boy, and...
Her sister.
Like, her sister.
Mm-hmm.
Which I think... And again, since you're not throwing this picture away...
Yeah.
You're just not displaying this anymore.
Yeah.
That this might be worth... not displaying because there's so much of a story behind it.
Okay.
Like there might be too much
of
a story.
Well, is it your veto or no? That's what I'm asking you. I'm asking you to make your two absolute vetoes or not.
You know, I won't veto that one, but I did want to veto this one of the early in the relationship behind the back looks like kissing.
Yeah.
I'm vetoing that one.
Okay.
That one is vetoed, but I'm not, and I am... giving up my last veto.
Okay.
So I'm help. This is more to help you. I vetoed one.
Okay. So now I need to get rid of. So we have 11. We're down to 10. So I need to get rid of 5.
Yeah, you need to cut this in half.
Son of a bitch.
All right. You might want to just go with the first one that just pops out and says, I got to keep this one.
Well, here's. I'm going to get rid of the one of me, her, and Nicanor from rafting.
Okay.
The reason being, I have a similar picture from that day and other pictures that aren't just with us.
All right.
So I can put that one away.
Knowing that you have other pictures similar to it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Let's see.
You got a lot of choices
I'm
left.
Keeping this one because it contains the most beautiful woman in the world.
All right. Fair enough. You know, I don't see why she would be offended by hearing that she's the most beautiful woman in the world.
Well, I can't really explain that on the air.
Okay. I suppose not, but sure.
Unless you're prepared to act on it, which I am not.
You were to enter in a situation where this beautiful woman said, Peter Dirk, take me.
Well, that's not going to happen.
Hypothetically. End of the world. The rapture.
I don't even want to take it All right. I'm just saying, so let's move on.
Okay.
Let's just leave that alone. Okay. I'll get rid of this one standing in front of the Art Institute. It's a good picture, but you know. No, I'll get rid of Ferris wheel.
The Ferris wheel.
Because she's out of focus.
All right.
So whatever.
Going with the photo quality on that one is a little low of what's left.
I only have to get rid of two more. Three more.
Three more.
Shit.
I know. It's getting tough, isn't it?
Yes.
Now, this is. Remember, this is not getting rid of forever. This is just not displaying in the helpful snow fort.
Okay, I'm going to get rid of her and the sister and the nephew. The reason being, there's actually Mod Podge. Exploded and some of it's on the picture.
Okay. All right.
So as a physical object, it has a flaw
that you can use to
hang
eliminate
my hat on.
Right.
Ooh, God. So you got to get rid of two more.
Two more. Now this is down to the nitty gritty.
Well, here's how I'm feeling. These three are all Chicago pictures, right?
Right.
So I need to get rid of at least one.
You might want to keep the one that has you in it, even if...
I don't care about pictures of me.
But it also has a picture of a gift from your crazy uncle.
That's a good picture.
Yeah.
And memorable. Okay, I'm going to get rid of that Art Institute one. Because even though I think it's a really good picture...
Right.
Shit. I'm not sure yet.
Well, you don't have to keep all of the... You know, you
Here's
don't have to
eliminate
the Chicago.
I'm going to get rid of the blurry, genuine smile.
Right.
And then... In its favor, I will save the genuine smile with the turtle.
Okay.
Okay? So that's going in my immunity zone.
All right. So,
so
you
now
can...
I only got to get rid of one more.
Yep.
Christ.
Now there's a picture to sum up what's left.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
It's her, there's the one of her and her niece on the porch swing.
Right.
Us in the water management shirts.
Yep.
Us to post Kings of Leon's concert. Kings of Leon concert. And then the nice downtown.
In front of the art museum.
In front of the art museum picture.
Line. Yeah. I know it gets tough here. It's kind of a... Lots of it seems like a choice between well-shot pictures and then things with memories.
Because
if you're just going with the well-shot pictures, you'd go with the Art Institute, which has the really good picture of the lion.
Yeah.
And then the... With the niece. Those are just the best shot pictures.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because the other two are low light. And I would say the Kings of Leon thing is interesting.
Yeah.
You know, if you were going with the best shot pictures, you take those three.
Yeah.
But the water management vests are pretty cool.
Yeah. Fuck.
I know. This gets really hard. I wish we had some Jeopardy music playing.
Okay, you know what? Here's what I'm going to do.
Oh, boy. We got some shifting. He's holding up the picture with her and
the turtle.
Taking the
turtle picture out, and here's why.
Okay.
Here's what I estimate.
Right.
That turtle is something that I will forget about in the next 5 years. I won't remember.
Right.
So when I do open this box, you know, do not open till 2017.
Right.
It'll be...
when you're happily married and wealthy as the show has taken off.
Yeah.
All right.
It'll be like that song.
Carry on My Wayward Son?
No, not like that song at all. Oh. Hang on, let me see if I can pull it up.
Bad here. Company by
Bob Getting Seger. Warmer.
Okay.
here we go. Let me just skip to the part here.
I'm trying to think of what song it could be like. Back in Black? No, this is not Back in Black. Money.
No.
Oh.
Nothing out of AC/DC's vast catalog.
Oh, Darling Nikki, then. It's Prince okay, song.
Here it comes. Hang on.
All right, so it's not... So it's not a Prince song, is what you're saying.
No.
You have to be rich.
Okay, hang on.
To be so my girl.
You have to stop. Because here it comes. I didn't need much to say. Because she smelled like cigarettes and wine.
And she kept me happy all the time. I don't hear anything about turtles.
Hang on.
I
know that ain't much of a lie, but it's God's own truth. Okay, this part.
Oh.
And she lives down inside of me still, rolled up like a $20 bill, but she left me alone with these. So it's like, it's like a 20 you left in your fucking jacket pocket.
Okay.
And forgot about and right. Come back to. I think that's what this picture would be like. Because I'll remember her.
Right.
But I won't remember the turtle. But then I'll remember it when I see the picture.
You'll remember the story and you'll remember this event.
Yeah.
I'm going to ask you a hypothetical here.
Okay.
All right. What if you've moved on?
Mm.
You know, would the story still have the same meaning?
Well, how could I know?
Yeah.
I mean, obviously it won't have the same meaning, but that doesn't mean it's bad.
Okay, so what you're saying, though, is that this picture is the kind of picture that it'll have a story when you pull it up. Like, there'll be something more behind it. And there's enough behind it that it's worth finding, you know, in your time capsule when you open it.
Here's what I'm saying. Most of the ones I saved have a story behind it.
Right.
So I could talk about these pictures, what's going on, what's happening.
Right.
That one, there's not really much to say beyond what you see there.
Yeah.
I saw a turtle on the way to our house. I almost hit it. Then we went back and got it and put it in a cardboard box.
Right.
But it's like one of those little events that you remember after a relationship that have kind of more meaning than those big events.
Okay. It's more that it tries to encapsulate the relationship in the small event. The tiny details are the ones that either make the relationship go or make the relationship end. It's not the big things, it's the little things.
It's like the $20 bill in the coat pocket.
Right.
Is a much bigger deal than the $20 bill
in your wallet
that you know is in your wallet.
Okay.
Yeah?
Well, I'd like to have both, but sure.
I'm just saying, there's a difference.
All right.
It's the same physical object, but it has a much different meaning.
All right.
So these are all the physical objects of these pictures, but that one has a different meaning.
So let's recap what you've decided to keep.
Okay.
This picture of somebody that we cannot discuss.
Yep.
All right. We've got the picture of the ex with the niece.
Yep.
On the porch swing. All right. The water vest, the water management vest.
Yep.
All right. Real good. The Kings of Leon concert exit.
Post-concert. It looks like 28 days later.
Right. And then in front of the art museum.
Which is, I just think, a really nice picture of her.
Of her? Well, of her, but it's like a really nice picture, period. Yeah, like,
yeah, it's just a good picture.
Interesting. See, and these are the five that are worth keeping as a display.
Yeah.
That the others, you know, we're not trying to get rid of them. We're just trying to reduce the number that are on display.
So let's see, how many did we reduce by?
So we've got... You've got quite
two,
a few.
Three, four,
that's an
five,
impressive stack of photographs.
Six, seven, eight, nine, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23, 4, 5, 26, 27, 28, 29.
So you've got, you reduced them by 29.
Yeah.
All right, so you had 34 pictures.
35 to 5.
Right.
Pretty good.
I think that's a really good reduction. Pretty good. Do you feel better?
Not right now.
Not right now. You feel like shit, don't you?
Yes.
You're like, oh, you had to go through all those stories. So this was another one of those snow day podcasts.
Yeah.
Down into a dark place. So we need to talk about something that's more funny.
Okay.
All right. So I think you wanted to talk. Our original topic for today's was just as sometimes our women leave us and things don't work out and we have bad memories of them or good memories from time to time.
Hmm.
Just as our women leave, our cars leave as well. And sometimes we have relationships with cars that end and it's tough.
Yeah.
Real tough.
Well, yeah,
because
that's one way to put it.
I was
going to just say shitty cars.
Shitty cars.
Because I know you have shitty car experience.
I do. But I was thinking about this because I was going through some pictures with someone the other day.
Uh-huh.
And I could say some of the things that made me actually feel a little emotional were some pictures of my first car. Because there's a great picture of the first car that I ever had as my car.
Yeah.
Or what was actually our car.
Yeah.
Which
it was really your car, though.
It was really my car.
Because it was your car for like a year.
Right.
And then, you know, we shared it for probably a year.
A year. And then
you kept it for a couple more years.
I think if we're going to do this chronologically, it might be worth going back to what was actually my first car.
Okay.
In terms of use.
Okay.
If my first car, in terms of use, was a shitty car, because it was incredibly dangerous to give to a 16-year-old.
I don't know. Just tell me what it
was. This was the 1992 Chevy Silverado Suburban.
Oh, yes.
This was a shitty car to give to someone that age.
Well, and you, I wouldn't say you were a bad driver.
No.
But I would say you were a not careful driver.
I was a reckless driver.
You did
at
not
times.
Consider a car to be like, you know, the part of drivers that where they're like, a car is a weapon.
Right.
That part didn't take.
No, it didn't.
A car to you, it was a go-kart.
Yeah, I kind of treated the world as like it was a go-kart.
And it was like, you know, every stoplight we floor it.
Right.
You know, when it turns green, and we skid to a stop when it turns red.
Yes, that's about right. That's,
and there's no reason to slow down for a dip.
No. This is worth talking about with Dip Street in a later vehicle.
Yeah.
Which I kind of destroyed.
Yeah.
But the first car was this 1992 Suburban.
Uh-huh.
And the reason it was a bad, not only that because of my driving style, but this was a solid steel tank.
And correct me if I'm wrong.
All right.
Because I think I talked about this on another show.
Okay.
The day you got your driver's license.
Yes.
If I'm remembering correctly, you drove maybe us kids and our dad to the movie theater.
Right.
And he said something like, I've been waiting 16 years for this.
Mm-hmm.
Got in the way back and cracked a beer.
He did.
Okay.
Now, this is worth noting because before that...
That would be in this car.
Before that, I had never driven with anybody else except the driving ed instructor and my driver's ed partner.
Yeah.
So this was the first time I'd been in a car,
yeah,
like driving,
yeah,
with anybody, you know, anybody else.
Yeah.
You know, so I had no experience driving whatsoever.
Right.
And so I'm scared shitless. Also because like the driver's ed car is a little Ford Escort.
Yeah,
and
this
now,
is gigantic.
Now I'm in a gigantic behemoth.
This is like a car, too, of the era when you actually had to be kind of physically strong to drive.
Yes.
Like, it was more like steering a submarine or something where you felt the resistance.
See, this is what I talked about in an earlier podcast where I had some experience driving a boat.
Yeah.
Nothing prepared
That's
me for driving
meant.
A boat than this car. Because this car was a solid steel death trap and didn't stop at all.
Yeah.
You know, and so, but the thing was, I as much as I want to look back and try to make sense of events, my irresponsible driving probably, and maybe not stem, but probably wasn't stopped by the fact that my dad hopped in the back of the thing with a beer.
Yeah.
You know, so it wasn't as if it was
not a great example.
Not a great example. So it's kind of like, at that point, that was also the point where I needed some driving instruction.
Yeah, meanwhile, he's like, I'm just going to drink a beer and shoot a pistol out the back window at nothing.
So I had no driving instruction in this behemoth.
Yeah, no.
But that was also
I can't really instruct you, son, because if I sit in the front, the cops might see that I'm drinking a beer.
Right. But it was also a bad vehicle because I was one of the first of my friends to get a driver's license.
Mm.
And so that meant I was driving a lot of people around.
Yeah.
And when you have a small car, like a Ford Escort, you can really only drive four other people around max.
Yeah.
Like, seriously,
that
max.
That pretty much sucks, yeah.
But in this case, I could drive 9 people around pretty easily. I could drive 11 around. I did that before.
Right.
So you've got 11 people in this thing.
Right.
And the last reason it's a shitty car to give to a 16-year-old, I trashed it, like filled it with shit.
Yeah.
Like garbage and fast food bags and all that other stuff. And it's bad because with a normal car, you just hit a point where it's full of stuff.
Yeah, and you have to...
You have to clear it out or it's just you can't add anymore.
It's saturated in garbage terms.
In garbage terms. So I had... But that thing with the Suburban is it just keeps going.
Yeah.
You know, there's no stopping.
Yeah, it's pretty hard to fill.
It's hard to fill up.
It's like the motion picture Three Ninjas.
Yeah.
Where they're driving that big conversion van and they just whatever... They'd be like, see you later, Egg McMuffin, dude, and just threw it in the back.
Yep.
And it could go on forever.
Yeah, you could do that for years.
Yeah.
You know, it'd be like Hoarders in A&E where
exactly.
It's just a big pile of stuff.
Car hoard.
But that's worth starting with that car
mm-hmm.
because that was really the first car that I drove.
Yeah. Now that I wouldn't say was a shitty car in its time so much as it was a shitty car to give to you at that time.
Right.
A bad decision.
It was a bad decision.
Bad parenting and work.
And I would say that this car transitioned to another car, which I believe came before the car we talked about in the school picture.
Okay.
Which was the black Suburban.
Yeah.
Now the black...
Now that was nice.
Right. It was a nice
time.
It was a nice car for its time. Now, we had different names for these among my friends.
Yeah.
The blue Suburban was known as the Blue Whale.
Right.
Because it, you know...
It was gigantic and blue,
and it drove like a whale.
Yeah. Yeah, it was about if you stabbed a steering wheel into a whale's head and tried to steer him.
Right. We named the black Suburban after someone.
Okay.
And we called it the Big Bitch.
Okay.
Right.
Yep.
So, we'll leave it at that. All right. But this car was a nice car, but this car was a bad choice for a 16-year-old because it was also a death trap.
Yeah.
But it had quite the engine in it.
Yeah.
And I know this because I was on Highway 34, and I got this thing up to 140 miles an hour.
Oh, my God. See, this is the problem with kids driving.
Right.
Right? Because what would you say the fastest speed you've driven in the last 5 years? You've been driving.
Gosh, I would say I got up to 80 miles an hour once, and that was like on a downhill. It was kind of in the evening, so there was no traffic anywhere, and it was still like 5 miles over the limit. And all right.
Here's what I'm saying.
Okay.
Right? You give a kid a license, that's when he is most excited to go 140, which is anything to and above 100, fucking ridiculous.
I mean,
just a normal road in a car that is in no way. I mean,
this car was sort of prone to tipping over too.
Well,
yeah,
no car is meant to go. Okay, cars that are meant to go 140,
right,
are meant to go 140. But unless you specifically purchase it, knowing just because, I mean, I had a Grand Am and the steering wheel went up to 120 or the speedometer went to 120.
Right.
It does not mean it is appropriate to drive at 120.
No, it is not at all.
Even remotely.
That's more for decoration because the round speedometer looks nice. I mean,
just can't go like 5/8 across the dashboard.
Right.
It has to go all the way across.
Right. And the worst thing is that the 140 miles per hour was not the least responsible thing I did in that car.
Uh-huh.
Because I turned that car from a nice car to a shitty car.
Right. You transformed it. It blossomed from a beautiful butterfly into a shitty caterpillar.
Right. Because there's a street near where our dad used to live.
Yeah.
And this was a very poorly designed street.
Mm.
Or it was sort of... It crossed a lot of poorly designed streets. Because what happened is a lot of these streets had a large curve on them.
They had a lot of dips.
And it was
curved in the center.
Yeah, it had a lot of really deep dips.
Yeah.
This got its name Dip Street.
So it was like going up and down these very sharply rolling hills.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so if you went across this in a small car, you would probably scrape at least once.
Yeah.
You know, if you went across this fast enough, you could probably, you know, you'd bottom out really easily. You can bottom out going at a normal speed.
Yeah. Yeah. You had to slow. You have to slow down.
Right.
Do the one gutter, go over the top, slow down again, and go over the next gutter.
Right.
Repeatedly.
Right. It's a bit like off-roading in town.
Mm-hmm.
I took this thing, and it was the middle of the night.
Yeah.
And I was driving it, and I just gassed it. You know, I was like, all right, this is a Suburban. I want to see what this can do.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Your future at Consumer Reports would begin that day.
Would begin that day. So my future as a Top Gear America host was right there. So we took the car. We drove it along, and the dips are starting to get more and more intense and more and more intense. And then all of a sudden, there's just a ka-chunk as we bottom out in a Suburban.
Yeah.
So we scraped the bottom, but more importantly, the top console where you keep all the vents and the lights and everything.
Ray-Bans
and whatever else. This fell down.
Yeah.
Like it slid out and it fell down.
Yeah.
And so this was just like hanging down. And I thought, oh shit, I am fucked. I have destroyed this car. My friend puts it back, like sort of just slides it back into place.
Okay.
And we take the car home.
Yeah.
People disperse. And
when you say slide back in place, what you mean is like one of those where you set it up and then it falls down. You set it up, it falls down. Then you set it up very gingerly.
Yeah.
And sort of slowly move your hands away and it just stays up. And you're like, okay, when I slam the door, this thing is coming down.
Right. You're just kind of hoping.
That was the repair.
The idea of the repair was not to actually fix it, but to just go for the handoff.
Right.
You know, if nothing's
wrong.
To
make someone think it's their fault.
Right. If nothing's wrong with the handoff, then nothing is wrong.
Right.
You know, like if you say, all right, thanks. You know, hey, thanks for letting me borrow your car. Hey, everything looks fine. Then you're done.
Then we move on, yeah.
Right. They could explode after that, and it's not your fault.
Right.
And so I got this done, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I got the hand, you know, I got this little thing fixed.
Yeah.
Made the handoff.
Yeah.
And then what happened later?
Fell.
It fell, right? Yeah. Now, what do you remember what caused it to fall at
no.
all? It just was driving along, and all of a sudden, my dad was just driving this thing along. Like, no, nothing was wrong. Just a normal day. We're all in the car, and all of a sudden, it just falls down. Like, this thing just...
Just on flat road.
Just on a flat road. Just like a little thing just all of a sudden just pops out and falls down. And the worst thing is, like, you're a little freaked out by this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're freaked out
well,
by
no, it. I think I knew when it happened. I don't know how I knew.
Right.
But I knew that that was what had happened because I remember when it fell. I don't remember how I knew, but what I do remember is that when it fell...
You were immediately suspicious.
I was like, no. By the time it fell, I was like, oh, fuck, Dip Street.
Right.
I knew that that was what had happened.
Were you
essence.
In the car at the time?
No.
Oh, okay.
I don't know how I knew, but I knew.
Oh, boy.
Someone had told me, or, you know, I was up when you guys got back or something.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew, you know, but I wasn't involved and I was not about to get involved.
Right.
And clearly it couldn't be my fault because I couldn't drive.
So
I was like, fuck it, man. This does not concern me.
Yeah.
Mind your business.
And the thing was, like, you know, our brother and sister probably didn't know.
No, so I'm sure they had no idea.
So they're learning this for the first time as they listen to the show.
Yeah.
All right. That I.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. That I'd kind of wrecked this one.
Yeah.
But, I don't even remember if our dad asked about it. Like, he didn't ask me, or he asked me, I'm just like, I don't know.
I'm sure he just assumed. I mean, if it were me, I don't think I would put together how that would be the part that was destroyed.
If, like, the fender was bent or a headlight was broken, like, the kinds of things, or the outside was scraped.
Say,
in some way.
The alignment's all fucked up.
Right.
I'd be like, what were you doing?
Right. There's
what
something.
Happened?
There's something obviously physically broken, but how, you know, the thing is, like, you don't think about how that top console, like, the idea that you could slide the top console in and out just even as a piece, it's like, I didn't even know how that thing was attached.
Yeah.
So, you know, how the hell are you supposed to figure out, like, that's how it broke?
Yeah, I wouldn't. My first thought wouldn't be, God damn, kids going over the dips too fast.
Yeah.
Broke the overhead console.
I mean, you'd think like that there was just some glue that melted or,
I wouldn't know,
you know,
what,
like a screw was loose.
Well, I would go there because I'm sure if I had a kid, he'd be a hateful fuck.
Right.
But the average parent.
Right.
So, okay, so you've successfully destroyed that car.
I did some decent van damage to that car, but yeah.
But your real
first car was what has become known everywhere as the Dirkmobile.
Now let me to get everyone acquainted with how old this car is.
Okay.
I dug up a picture one time of me.
Right.
In diapers.
Yes.
Not able to walk, but able to, like, you know, put your hands on something and stand.
Uh-huh.
And my hands were on this car standing.
Right.
Cut to, you know, 15 years later, and mm-hmm. this is Ian's first car.
This is my first car. This is the first car that is mine.
Yeah.
It's not like a car that's going to go back to someone else. It's the first car that is.
It was our mom's car.
Right.
And she got a new car.
Yep.
And so that one was yours.
I also crashed that mom's car, too.
You did crash her new car.
We've already discussed this, but...
Yeah.
I think this is...
That wasn't totally your fault.
No.
I mean, you probably wouldn't have happened today.
No.
With the way you would drive today versus then.
Well, because today I drive like an old woman. You wouldn't believe it, but I really do.
Well, you certainly don't drive like you did then.
Right.
So, but anyway, so this is your car.
It is my car, the Dirkmobile, which is a 1982 Toyota Cressida station wagon.
Yeah. Brown or gold, depending on who you ask.
Right. It's interesting. That is an interesting thing to say because someone had put gold on a parking ticket that I'd received, and I argued that my car was not gold.
Yeah.
And the cop saw it and was like, that's definitely not gold. So,
which is hilarious because I'm sure he was like, well, this one identifying feature, which is the most subjective,
right,
apart from the license number, make, and model, well, what can you do?
You got to say, though, that like if you have your car, right, which is kind of a silver color.
Yeah.
If someone had said, oh, it's black, you go like, that's pretty fucking far off.
Yeah, you know, but like, it's not that. It'd be like if they said it was gray instead of silver.
Well, this wasn't,
I think I would have to accept that.
If it was gray and you said it was silver, that's fine. But if you said gold and it's brown,
It's pretty damn. I'm just saying.
I think
won the lottery that day.
I absolutely agree that I think I won the point, but it's the kind of like, yeah, you know, there's a lot of colors you could sort of fudge and say gold is not one of them.
Listen.
If you said
by the time that happened,
right,
as I recall, the paint was so faded that it had sort of a
it looked like
shimmery,
primer.
It had a shimmery effect in spots. I mean, it kind of looked like it was glitter dusted in spots. I mean, it looked like there was no paint in other spots.
It's Ziggy Stardust or something.
So this is the car now. I mean, this is the era of you teenaging it up. I remember this frequently because it had a very distinct
sound
to it because it was, you know,
an old car,
20 years older than most of the other cars on the road.
Right.
And I remember this was a frequent tactic. Our dad moved into a house that had a really steep driveway. So when you were ready to sneak out at night, you and your friends, you'd go out the window.
Right.
You know, which was ground level, walk to your car and just put it in neutral and just slide down the driveway.
We'd roll it backwards. Yep.
Yeah. And then just, but here was the thing. It was so fucking loud that even when you started it way down the block, I could completely hear it.
Right.
Like, it was so distinct and so fucking loud, but even rolling it all the way down the block and then starting it, I was like, there goes Ian.
Yeah, see, the thing was, you were probably listening for it.
No, I mean, I wouldn't even know you had left, and then I'd be like, there they go.
Yep. You're like,
or I'd be like, boy, that sure sounds like the Cressida.
So you would have figured this out, but I could say that our dad either never figured it out or just didn't care.
Yeah.
It's hard to tell which is which.
I also remember one time we did manage to destroy one of the windows.
Oh, boy.
With a water balloon.
With a water balloon. Now, this is worth saying that, Peter, you'd gotten one of those water balloon slingshots.
Yeah, this is like, that was the big thing for like a summer. Surgical.
Yeah.
It was like surgical tubing and foam.
Uh-huh.
And you could, it was a three-man operation.
Right.
Like, one man would hold one side, one would hold the other side, and then one would take the basket portion of the slingshot and pull it back.
Mm-hmm.
You could put a water balloon and launch it far as shit.
Yeah.
So we decided, you know, the first day I got it, we did, you know, we launched a couple the regular way. Friend of the show, Travis, held both handles and let it just hit him in the chest, which was the second worst idea of the day. And the third worst was I was like, let's just do this. Let's hit the car from, like, point blank range.
We wanted to hit it at point blank range to make sure we hit it.
Yeah. Right. I mean, your guys' hands were literally touching the car while you're holding the handles, and I'm pulling the basket back. Now I let go, and the water balloon blasts clean through the window. It makes a clean hole in the window.
Yeah.
And the pieces of it are stuck to the other side.
This just blows through the window.
Yeah, and the pieces of the balloon are stuck on the window on the opposite side of the car.
This was near the end of the car's life. Well, actually, not even that close to the end of the car's life. That car still had another, like, 3-4 years.
Yeah.
But at the same time, like, right around that time period, the water balloon is pretty good.
Yeah.
There was another time where I was parked at a friend's house. We were all sitting on the porch.
Uh-huh.
And then one of his neighbors, like, the little kid was sort of riding his bike around. Right? And we're watching the little kid ride his bike around, and the kid is, like, kind of wobbly on the bike, like, can't stop, can't do stuff very well.
Yeah.
And so he bumps into the back of my car.
Yeah.
And then one of the rims that you used to hold the hubcap on when the hubcap was there just sort of falls off. And we're just, like, and this is, like, not a kid going full speed. This is, like, a kid bumping into it, and then the rim falls off.
From getting rear-ended by a bicycle.
Bicycle. And we... Now, my friends and I are laughing at this because this is just fucking great. You know, this little rim falls off. This little kid bumps it. This kid is scared.
Yeah.
This kid is like, oh, good. And then his mom comes out and is like, how dare you laugh at this kid? He's just learning. And we couldn't even explain why we were laughing because it was just too... It was even better.
The shittiness of the car?
The shittiness of the car was really what was funny, but you couldn't even explain this to this woman because she's like... pulled the kid off and went inside. But somehow when she came out, it was even funnier.
Yeah.
Because it was like, she thought like we were pissed off about this. And we were just like, oh my God.
Now in this car, before you got it, it had some heavy and consistent use.
Yes.
I mean, this was our family car. You know, we went to Grand Canyon.
Yep.
We went to fucking Yellowstone.
Yep. Mesa Verde.
We drove to school like every day in this car. I sat in the trunk.
Yes, you did.
And I have a distinct memory, too, of one of probably the last times we drove there, one of the last years.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting up to the school, and just smoke starts pouring out of the vents for no fucking reason. I mean, thick, black, plastic burning smell smoke. It's just as we pull up to the school. And this was before you'd laid hands.
On the car. It was already like that.
It was well traveled
before I got it.
Yeah.
It had been to places.
Yes.
It was a dark thing. The strange thing though was that as much like I'm surprised you haven't told the story. This is more of a driving story story.
Okay. I already know where this is going.
Right.
So even though we went to the same school, as we grew up, I actually started carpooling. Here's the thing. At this point, we would switch off car. So my brother would basically get the car 1 week. I would get it the next week. Okay. And be the primary driver. And if you wanted to catch a ride with the guy who had the car that week, cool. And if you didn't, cool.
This was when we had to share. We shared this car for a year. Yeah.
So here's the thing. I had my friend of the show, Travis. He had a equally shitty car. And he shared that with his brother.
Yeah.
So we alternated weeks. So 1 week, I would drive to school with Travis, and he would drive. The next week, when I had the car, I would drive.
Right.
So this was a Travis week. So he comes, and, you know, I was running a little late this day. I think I had to go meet him at his house for some reason.
Yeah.
So, you know, and I ran a little late, you know, and he was pissed off. Understandably, so we're driving, and it's a little uncomfortable in the car because he's a little pissed off, and I feel bad. You know, I'm gonna make us late for school. So we're coming onto the main road, and I know I'm late because then I see you pull onto the main road.
Now it's worth noting that I was always late.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
I mean,
if you're behind
late.
Him going to school, you know you're gonna be fucking late. And now this was a rather cold winter morning. We're driving. We get closer up behind him. And I see... So he's got his head sticking out the fucking driver's side window. Ace Ventura style, right?
Well,
his,
I had to,
his hair is blown
Wait, I had to do this because...
No.
I'm trying to explain where it is. All right.
It's cold. He's got his fucking head out the window driving. You know, it's like, what the fuck is he doing? And then we get figured out because we get to a stoplight. And his head goes in the window and he comes back out. And he's... hanging out the window, scraping the window, the windshield, from inside the car. So basically, you were so fucking late that instead of scraping the windshield for 10 seconds, you drove 2 miles with your head out the window, just looking down the street. And then you get to the first stoplight and just do a complete... half-assed 10-second, you know, left arm scrape of the window.
Yeah.
And I mean, we were sitting in there, and so we first see your head, and it's just like, why is his head out the window? What's going on? And then we get to the stoplight, you go in and come out. We're just dying laughing. Broke all the tension in the car.
That was enough.
Oh, my God.
Now... the thing is, you probably don't even remember being late for class that day.
No.
But
no.
Thank
God we were behind you because it worked out perfectly.
It saved your friendship, really.
It was worth being, I mean, you know, now, of course, I'd be late to class just because, you know, I had 40 minutes left of this episode of The Shield.
Right.
But at that time, you know, it was important, but that completely...
that changed everything.
Justified everything and made it worthwhile.
I guess I should say this in...
that was a game changer.
I should say this in defense. That this was a time...
okay.
This is my brief defense of it, is that although at that time with the car's history, it would start up great in the wintertime,
yeah.
That front defroster was shit. Like, it didn't work at all. So whenever it didn't work, like, whenever I would get in the car, like, even if I had scraped the window, it'd fog up.
I'm just
saying.
And
I was done.
You know, we shared that car.
Right.
I drove it later.
Yeah.
And never had to drive with my head out the window.
I'm just
saying.
You're just saying you did that. Like, I was at a point where I was like, I was late for school, but I was like, I'm fucking late. I gotta go. I don't have time for this scraping nonsense.
There is another pretty great school one.
Okay.
So, they did this thing in the school newspaper called Junkyard Treasures.
Yeah.
Yeah, and they featured the shittiest cars.
Uh-huh.
So, of course, you know, it was in there. One of our teachers had a car in there.
Yeah.
Now, this thing was shitty on a whole new level. It literally had if you sat in the back seat...
it had a hole.
It had a hole. You could watch the road going by below you. Now, and this is when you're in, like, 8th or 9th grade.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea that your teacher has a hole in his car is, like, mind-blowing.
Right. You have no concept that your teachers don't make any money.
Now, I remember one day we were driving home in your car, and it fucking died.
Yeah.
So we're on the side of the road, and I'll never forget this. We're on the side of the road, and he pulls up right next to us in his complete shit box, you know, and he's sitting there, and he's like, do you guys have some car trouble or something like that? And I remember saying, like, well, I'd ask you for a ride, but I don't want to fall through the floor.
Right.
And he was like, well, at least mine's running. Beep, beep, and then just takes off.
That was like, a pretty good
fucking
one.
Fucking bastard.
You fucking dick.
But that's how, yeah, that's the stigma.
The stigma driving. Attached to that car.
Mm.
That car had sort of a weird, I feel like it had a weird trajectory.
Yeah.
Where it was total piece of shit.
Yeah.
Well, it was always a total piece of shit.
Yeah.
But then it became famous for being a piece of shit.
Right.
Where it's like, you don't want to have even among the students, you don't want to have the second shittiest car.
No.
If you have the shittiest car, you at least have something.
It was like, you know, there was always a weird kid who had like a Volkswagen Beetle.
Yeah.
Or there'd be some kid who had a truck that was constantly breaking down.
Uh-huh.
I mean, it was one of those character cars.
Yeah.
Not like you just had a Hyundai.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it was nice though because like I was in bands at the time and yeah. I have musical instruments and having a station wagon was actually pretty handy.
Yeah.
You know, so it was like all you of a sudden
that shit.
You could haul a lot of stuff around.
Yeah.
And that old beast, it had a CD player in it.
Yeah. Which at the time was big.
Which was at the time was a big deal and yeah. I can say it saved me a lot of grief when I eventually took that car to college.
Yeah.
So that car went with me to college. So, I mean, you got to think that this car had already had 16 years when I got it.
Yeah.
And it lasted me until I was about 22.
Yeah, I mean, it was basically as old as you.
It was basically, it was a week older than I was.
Yeah. 22 years of, like, daily hard driving.
Hard driving. Like, the kind of driving that's... You don't let it warm up on cold days. You know, you stop and start it pretty hard.
Yeah.
The last story worth telling about this car, aside from the fact that I donated it to the blind when I got rid of it.
Which still blows my mind.
Yeah, I just, like, I filled out a form and they took it away. And I felt really, I felt really bad when that car left. I genuinely,
yeah,
I did. I held onto that car until it wouldn't run anymore. Yeah. Like, it would just die for no reason, you know, and so...
Yeah.
But the last story worth telling was that I was in the dorms in college.
Uh-huh.
And you'd park your car kind of outside.
Yeah.
And there was one guy who was just... One night, he was... It was the middle of the week, so it wasn't like a crazy weekend thing.
Uh-huh.
He was just like cracked out. He was on PCP or something, like, insane.
Yeah.
He wasn't just drunk, because, like... He decided to go on a violent rampage, which was he took a shovel and started smashing people's windshields. Just he went down the line, smashed a car's windshield, hopped off the hood, smashed another car's windshield, hopped off the hood, just went down the line, did this to all these cars.
Yeah.
He got stopped by the police, not to stop him from doing this,
uh-huh.
but to stop all the guys in the dorms who had piled out from killing him.
Yeah.
Like on the spot.
Right.
And he was a classic great drug addict kind of thing because he had this shovel in his hand and the cops show up as he's smashing a windshield. He's like, what did I do? What did I do?
Right.
As if it's like, well, I don't...
Freaking cops hassling me, man.
Yeah, cops are just hassling you. But he went down the line and he skipped my car. He just skipped over to like, oh, God, what's the point, really?
Never mind.
Never mind.
That's just going to make me feel bad.
That's just, I'm done with it. You know, someone's already done this, bitch.
Yeah.
Moving on. But as much as my car, the Dirkmobile, was a piece of shit.
Yeah.
With its distinct starting, occasional black smoke streaming through the vents.
Yeah.
It was still a better car than the Pontiac.
Yep.
In every way.
So I remember, this was my aunt's boyfriend's old car,
uh-huh.
and my grandma bought it from him for $1,000. I wish I had this song. There's this great song called $1,000 Car, which is basically the premise of the song is, why did I buy $1,000 car?
Right.
You know, and there's a bunch of great lines in there like, you know, if $1,000 car was worth a damn, why would anybody pay 10 grand? Shit like that, basically. So we go pick up this $1,000 car. Now, at the time, it was fine. It was probably about 8 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't have a lot of miles on it, which was always the frustrating part. I don't think I hit 100. I think I hit like 80,000 miles in that car.
I think
it completely went to shit.
The Cressida, when it died, had like 200,000 miles.
Yeah, and this had like 80.
Right.
And it took a lot to get it there.
Uh-huh.
So we go pick it up, and I remember we were leaving. It was me and my mom. We're going to drive it back. And so we...
We
go get the gas.
Yeah.
You know, with my aunt's boyfriend. He's like, make sure you put in premium.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay.
This is a bad sign,
which
already.
I think I did for like a week.
Oh,
and I was like, no, fuck this.
Because you figure out that premium is more expensive, like the regular is more cheaper.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, I knew that all along. I just was like, I'm going to take good care of this car. You're right.
Mm-hmm.
Premium it is. And then I was like, no, not doing that. Because, you know, the first thing to go on that car was not the fuel system.
No.
So, we drove home. We got, the tread came off one of the tires on the way home.
Yeah.
And subsequently, over the next week of driving it around town, I think I lost two of the other three tires.
So basically, like, three tires.
Yeah, I mean, gone. I had a full-size spare and the donut on at the same time.
Yeah.
You know, I carried a full-size... I was the only person I knew who had a full-sized and, you know, complete jack and a full-size spare in my trunk at all times. Every time I took a turn, you'd hear it, like, hit the sides of the trunk, you know. So I would say this car served me well for about 2 years.
Right.
Then it started to show signs of wear. Well, first it had a CD player in it,
yeah.
You know, I got, and it was like a refurbished. And the problem with it was it would skip constantly.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, all the time. And I got real used to it. Like, you know how if you date someone and they snore a lot, you get used to it?
Yeah, like no matter what flaw they have, if you're with them for a while, you get used to it.
You just don't even notice.
Yeah.
But it would drive everyone else insane. So then the worst part of that for me wasn't the skipping. It was my mom going into Car Toys and, like, screaming at this kid about, like, what the fuck? Why would you sell this product to someone if it doesn't work? Yada, yada. It was embarrassing as shit.
Now, she's perfect. Like, the thing is, she's completely right about
she's
all of
totally
these points.
She's totally right. She's
like
yelling at the wrong person.
Like, Car Toys had sold you a product that essentially didn't work.
Yeah.
And they knew didn't work. Or
yeah.
They had some idea.
Yeah.
And even that kid probably wasn't the one who sold it.
Yeah, well, it was one of those where when she was saying it, even at that time, I was like, I wonder what she's mad about right now that this is where it's coming out.
Right.
So then Well, the first thing that happened, actually, was in an odd confluence of events, my then recently ex-girlfriend at the time and future girlfriend, separated by a period of a couple weeks, and this was the period in between, did one of those things that teens like to do where they decorate your car.
Oh, boy.
Like, you see all the time they do that chalk soap stuff. On the window. I hate that shit. Because it's like, go seniors and a bunch of dots. Or one I just saw and it just said, like, Raul. And I'm like, is that Raul's car? Is that who did it? Is that just what the fuck is that?
What you does it mean? Even mean?
That's nothing.
Right.
So, but they decided to go, you know, prank style. Because she had, for some reason, she had a key to the car.
Right.
So they, most of the damage was done. They put a bunch of maxi pads on.
Oh,
and they
boy.
Had these sticky things.
Uh-huh.
And that sticky residue was forever on my rearview mirrors. I could never get it off. Which I don't know how that's attached to, like, your body or underwear.
Right.
And
I think it's attached to the underwear.
Okay. Yeah, I guess it wouldn't make sense to just attach it to your snatch.
See, yes. We're going to make sure that the blood gets stuck to this tape.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to be certain.
Right.
Those never came off, and that was the lasting thing of that, was every time someone's like, what the fuck's all over your mirror? There's some schmutz on here. I'd be like, oh, that's from a maxi pad.
Uh-huh.
But we did get revenge, because we covered their cars in, you know, we just went into the cabinets and got whatever was available, which happened to be old sunblock tortillas.
Oh boy.
And beer that had been sitting on the porch for over a year.
Okay.
So it had been, you know, heated and frozen and disgusting. I mean, it's the one girl was like, I almost threw up when I was cleaning my car. She was mad. And I was like, well, I have MaxiPad residue forever.
Now, I like this part of the story, but this is one of the three times, because this is one of the girlfriends that's involved in one of these three stories, which is when the Dirkmobile saves the day with the Pontiac.
It is?
Yeah, because there was one time
where
you couldn't get, well, I guess it didn't save the day because you couldn't get to her, like, to pick her up from school for some reason, like to take her to school, and so you called everybody else. You said you had called everybody else.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was the last person on the list.
Yeah.
It's the like, well, she's got to get to school. So what rolls up to save the day?
Dirkmobile.
Dirkmobile. Now, I don't even know what her parents thought of the Dirkmobile.
Yeah.
But it was quite a sight.
Yeah, and there were, I took her, you know, I drove her because she didn't have a car.
Right.
You know, and I think there were probably two times I ran out of gas while she was in the car. One was pretty humiliating because I had to push it about 5 feet.
Oh,
I was
boy.
Literally, and she was super late getting home. And I was like, I know this sounds insane, but because she lived a quarter mile from a gas station, maybe.
Yeah.
And I was like, I know this sounds insane, but I'm not confident that I can take you home and make it to the gas station. We need to stop on the way.
Oh, boy.
So we're pulling in, and the car dies.
So it's rolling into the gas station.
It's rolling, and I'm like, son of a bitch. And it's coasting up, and then it stopped. And I was like, fuck, because it wasn't quite close enough. So I get out, and I start pushing it. And there's this truck, and this big, huge, fat guy's in it with this kid.
Yeah.
And the big, huge, fat guy gets out and helps me, and I'm like, oh, thank you, man. And then so I'm filling up the gas, and this kid's hanging out, and he's like, Bill, real is real big, huh? And I was like, yep, sure is. Mm-hmm. And he's like, how come you ran out of gas, mister? And I was like, fuck you, kid. I don't know. I ran out of goddamn gas.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious how you ran out of gas, too, but sure.
I didn't have any money. I'm okay. Sure I wasn't planning on spending the money on it. I probably put in $2 while we were there.
This was back in a day where if you had like $5, you put in $3.
Yes. So, so then the wheels started to come off probably in the next couple years. I had a couple good years with that car, and then things started to go awry.
Oh,
it started with the paint.
Uh-huh.
And I discovered, because I had a friend who had a Jeep Grand Cherokee, which is made by GM, same yeah. company. Now, during this one-year period, all the white cars were painted with this different shade of off-white,
mm-hmm.
which had a tendency to not bond with the metal and just peeled off in sheets. Now, he cared about his car, so he had a thing that looked like a nail polish container.
Right.
Where you could touch it up, you know, and fix it and keep it from peeling.
Uh-huh.
Mine, I remember if I got it up to speed, which was 45, I could watch it flapping in the wind and then just sort of shearing off the car and flying away.
It was shedding its skin like a snake.
It was exactly like that.
A shitty, shitty snake.
Piece off into right. the wind. Then I think after that, what basically would happen is it would overheat if I had to be still for more than a few minutes.
Uh-huh.
So now all of a sudden, driving somewhere, next time you drive somewhere, try this. If your car is idling for more than 30 seconds
mm-hmm.
without a 4-minute break of driving in between, you fail. I could not go through a drive-through. If I went to Wendy's, I would have, and there were other cars in the thing,
yeah.
I'd have to take a lap around the parking lot and come back in hopes that the thing was empty. Because I knew I could not wait for someone else to get their food. There's no fucking way.
I had a car like that later on, but sure, we'll keep it on yours.
So then that was a problem. And, you know, part of the remedy was you just keep the heat on all the time.
Right. So you've got this heat on all the time.
Blasting.
Even in the summer.
So I can remember, and then the window cranks went. Manual right. window cranks, which everyone's like, you know what's good about... They're bad about power windows as they break. Well, so do the manual ones.
I can say that the Cressida still had working power windows at that point.
Motherfucker.
Yeah.
This one, you would crank the windows and just be like, and nothing happens, mm-hmm. you know, because it was like too loose. It was like a stripped screw, you know,
right.
when you're trying to unscrew it.
One side point I think that it might be worth keeping as this transitioned over from the serviceable car to the unserviceable car was there was one staple of item. There's one staple item in your car, which was an orange.
An orange.
You kept this orange in the back of your back window of your car.
I don't even remember that.
You had this orange, and it was in the back of your car for at least a year.
I don't remember that.
But I also remember that at one point you hucked it. at somebody else, like someone else's car, and it just was a brown smudge.
That I vaguely remember, because I yeah. remember trying to throw it, and it was like trying to throw just a orb of water.
Yeah, like, it's
you
just
couldn't
like
do it.
Yeah, it was just like a little. You couldn't
just conform
you couldn't
to your hand.
It. Like just kinda,
your fingers are spread to throw it, and it just seeps through your fingers.
Yeah,
it was like trying to throw a big thing of slime.
It really was. It was like trying to throw like a horrible. It was awful. It was disgusting.
So then I have this real distinct memory of every show I do is based around breaking up with a girlfriend.
Yeah.
I broke up with a girlfriend driving back from Denver.
Uh-huh.
And there's, you know, and as long as there's no traffic, I'm fine.
Right.
As long as it keeps moving, the air will keep going through and everything's cool.
Mm-hmm.
It's when I idle.
Mm-hmm.
So I come to a stop on the fucking interstate because they're doing construction. And it's like the middle of July.
Yeah.
So I'm sitting in there. I cannot roll down my window. And the heat's on full blast. And I just broke up with this girlfriend. And I'm thinking, like, my life is real bad right now. This is a pretty bad point.
Uh-huh.
This car is really bringing me down. And shortly after that, I made the good decision of getting a large student loan.
Yep.
And then using most of it to buy a car, which has done me well. Done right by me, this car.
Done right.
And my old car sat in the parking lot at my apartment so long that my landlord literally had to come to me and be like, "So, you thinking about getting rid of that car soon?
Yeah.
Maybe?" And I went to go in it, and there were just like leaves in it all over, and I don't know how that happened. And I just had someone tow that away, too. I don't know if it was a blind or the deaf or the...
Someone just got rid of it.
The mongoloids.
Now, I think there's two stories worth telling before we pass on from your car.
Yeah.
One story is unrelated, but it was one of the things where the Cressida saved the day.
Oh, yeah.
Where you were in Denver, and I was in Fort Collins, which is pretty far away from Denver.
No. This was not the...
Well, this is
to save the day, but it wasn't about my car.
It leads up to the where it really saves the day about your car.
We were at a concert.
Right.
Now, if you ever go to a concert in Denver, most of the venues are on Colfax. And there's an infamous Wendy's there.
Yep.
Because it has a gigantic parking lot.
Yep.
But man, they will fucking tow you. If you park there for a concert, your car will be gone.
Yes.
So we come out of this show and the car is gone.
Uh-huh.
And we're like, son of a bitch. So someone calls the towing thing, you know, on the sign, and the lady's like, "No, we closed." And I was like, "You're not closed." And she's like, "Closed in 5 minutes."
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, "All right, well, where are you?" Because, you know, we're like, what are we going to do? It's like a Thursday night. We're stuck. And she's like, "Too far to get here now." And I was like, "Bitch, I'm much faster at running than you might think. And
right.
I'm very motivated." But it was too far.
Mm-hmm.
So then we ended up calling you. Because I was like, who else is... It was like 1 a.m.
It was pretty late at night.
Who's
going to
pick us up?
Yeah.
So we call you, and I give you directions to come get us, and you're like, all right. And so then I was like, well, what are we going to do? And my friend was like, well, I have a friend who lives down here. Let's see what he's up to. He happened to be at a bar just down the street.
Yeah.
Now, this is a gay man.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my first gay bar experience.
Yeah.
Which I didn't... put 2 and 2 together. I went in, I had a drink and came out, and then I was like, oh, I was just in a gay bar. Then I went in and had a second drink, and it was equally enjoyable to the first.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, then we waited at his apartment, and then you showed up.
Kind of pissed off. Mostly
understandably.
Just because it was like, that was a time where it was a Thursday, like it was Thursday night, early Friday morning. I was a pretty much a night person.
Yeah.
I still kind of am. But that was a day where I had to be up at work. I had to be at work at 7 a.m.
Well, listen. Yeah, it was so like, by the time you got there, it was probably 2.
2 a.m.
So,
and
of
I was looking
you're pissed
at,
off.
I was looking at like, okay, I'm going to be back in my bed at 4:30 at the earliest. So I was like, I showed up to this apartment and the guy who owned the apartment, nice guy, is like, hey, you want to hang out? You want to have a drink? I was like, no, I want to go.
Yeah.
Right now.
Yeah.
And so we're driving back, and it was a foggy night, too, which was a little strange, but not a lot of traffic on the road. The thing I do remember, though, was that there was one passenger who was a little ill.
Yeah.
Yeah. She
puked. I don't know why. She wasn't drinking or anything.
Yeah, which was a strange thing, because you were all saying, like, oh, she's not going to puke. She hadn't drank anything.
Yeah. And she had.
She did.
So, here's the other time.
Right. This is where the Cressida saves the day and the Pontiac fails.
Now, let's skip over. So, there was one point where the Pontiac failed and you had saved me.
Right.
So, as a thank you, once the Pontiac had recovered, a friend of the show, Alec, and I decided to come bring you a fuck it bucket, which is a bucket usually traditionally filled with, you know, candy and pornography and...
Jägermeister.
And Jägermeister.
Yep.
So, we're driving, And we get about 3/4 of the way there.
Yeah.
When lo and behold, Pontiac dies again. So then we had to call you to come pick us up. Now, we're sitting on the side of the road and, you know, get a little hungry.
Yes.
So Alec decides one of the things we had in the bucket was Swiss cake rolls.
This is as we're driving back.
Well, he opens the Swiss cake roll. He eats one of them and puts it, kind of folds the wrapper over and puts the other one back in the bucket.
Yep.
Now, this enrages you to a level that is hard to describe. I think you were a little mad just in general because, you know, we had inconvenienced you because you had to come pick us up in this country road and then take us all the way home and then go back.
I was trying to figure out, like, at the time, because the Cressida, for all of its problems, yeah, I still took it on the highway.
Yeah.
And my logic was always, if I break down, I'd rather be where there are other cars.
Sure.
You know, like, accessible.
Okay.
And plus, it's just, like, if I got it off the road faster,
yeah,
it'd be fine. So you're out in the middle, kind of in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah. We took the back roads.
You took the back roads.
Well, because if I get stuck in traffic,
you're
fucked.
You're fucked.
But if I'm on the back roads,
there's no traffic.
I can always go a different way.
Right. You can always just turn right until eventually you get somewhere.
So he rewraps this cake roll and puts it back in the thing.
Yeah.
And you were fucking livid.
Well, I got
you called him. I'll never forget this. You said, you know what that is? That's classless. That is classless.
I called him. I said, you classless fuck.
And then, no, you didn't say fuck. You just said classless.
Classless.
And the fuck part was
the addition later.
And I just remember we both burst into laughing just because him being called classless is like such an, at the time, you know, light insult. I mean,
right,
of things you could have said. To call someone classless was hysterical.
It was nothing. Yeah, it was just so... It was so different. It was so
we're not
out there.
Eating.
Yeah.
Now, and he maintains to this day that was an acceptable move to eat one Swiss cake roll, rewrap, and put back in the bucket.
In a gift basket for somebody else,
yeah,
I'll add.
Yeah, which is an important point.
Right.
Maybe as our helpful advice to kind of close this out. Well, why don't you weigh in first?
I generally think like if it's your own box of Swiss cake rolls,
yeah,
you wrap
at
it
your
and
house.
Put it back at your house, that's fine.
Well, sure, but if it's at your house, I mean, you could eat one on the toilet and put one on the tank and eat it later.
It's
no
totally
one's business.
Fine. I just think that if it's part of a gift basket for somebody else, you take the whole thing,
yeah,
right? Or you just don't take them at all. You don't wrap one, like take one, and try to wrap it back up and put it back.
Now, here's his argument.
Right.
So you can, you know, address it. Well, I didn't want the other one. I wasn't going to eat it.
Well, he gives it away or he hangs on to it for later if he's never going to eat it. If it's just like, I'm never going to eat this one again. Then, you know, and it's the kind of thing that with that gift basket in particular, there were other Swiss cake rolls in there.
Right.
You know, so it's not as if I wouldn't get any.
Right.
It's not as if this was like a, you know, even if you had something like, to put it in a different way, like let's say you had like a Toblerone.
Sure.
You know, like an expensive chocolate or something.
Yeah.
You broke it in half. You didn't bite it in half. You just broke it in half.
Yeah.
You put the other half back.
Yeah.
Would you go like, well, what the fuck? Why didn't you give me the whole thing?
Well, it's kind of different though.
Okay.
Because that's meant to be broken in pieces.
Right.
I don't know. A Twix.
Okay. So if you put one Twix back.
I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I'm with you.
But Alec would.
I,
by his argument, yeah.
Well, here's my thinking. You go to a party and they have hors d'oeuvres.
Right.
And one of the hors d'oeuvres is, you know, like little pieces of bagel bites, let's say. And you pick up two bagel bites and you eat one and you decide you don't want the other one.
Right.
What you don't do is put it back on the tray with the other bagel bites.
Uh-huh.
Because whether or not somebody else wants to eat your touched bagel bite is their decision.
Yes.
But by putting it back, you make it their decision. So essentially, you're transferring the responsibility of throwing away this food item to someone else.
Yep.
Because you don't have the guts.
Right.
Hear that, Stumbaugh?
You didn't have the guts to eat that cake roll.
I'd have the guts to eat it or throw it away. God damn it.
Yeah, we didn't even get to all the cars today.
I know.
We've got one. I had one car that I had for a week.
Oh, yeah.
Then
you
I
got
have,
in a wreck.
Yeah, then I have the Avlov, which has got its own series of stories.
Yeah, which we towed to Arizona.
We towed to Arizona. It still runs, by the way. Actually runs really well.
Well, that's a relative
right
term.
Right now? Like, no, it actually runs better than it's ever had.
Well, that's good. So you're in a good running car?
So far.
I'm in a pretty decent running car right now.
Yeah, so this story has a somewhat happy ending.
Yeah. See, it all works out for us, Dirks.
Yeah.
We'll get our Zippos and our Volvos and...
We have fewer pictures on the wall, but, you know, the pictures we keep are the good ones.
Yeah. Well, thanks for helping me out with that.
No problem.
I guess.
You're just going to hang them all up when I go anyway.
No. I'll try.
All right.
Well, thanks for coming.
Thanks.
We'll see you again soon.
All right.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
And I'm too scared to ask the right question. Trying to fail the right shoes.